So tonight we're going to hear a talk that will encourage us from the Reverend Mike Filkey. This is the first time he's been introduced in this fashion, and we said so much about him on Sunday that I'm going to just leave it there.
So everything is it. The end. So with this background idea, I have long been intrigued by the distinction of near enemies. How can there be an enemy if everything is it? And I think that for a large proportion of my practice life, have found myself exploring my relationship with many different enemies. I haven't always known that's what I was doing. And, you know, often with quite an incredible amount of certainty that this was, you know, the path, because everything is it. And then we get these paradoxes, right? Well, everything is it? You know, everything is it, but that's also a near enemy. Okay. So, how about now? Is this a near enemy, or is this the truth we've been seeking all along? A good portion of my attention now is captivated by my own physiology. About 10 minutes before I came up here, I was sitting out on the porch and was just calm as a cucumber. Is that right? No, cool as cucumber. I guess they're calm too. And then I came up here and I came into the Zendo and I had a seat and I was like, oh yeah, I'm cool as a cucumber. And my palms started sweating. Then my armpits. Oh, God. Butterflies. Near enemy? Is this it? So much of the time, I'm also trying to figure out which is which. What's the right way for me to be practicing? So if I do it this way, that's going to be correct. If I can just be a little bit more X, Y, or Z, or a little bit less of this other thing. So, of course, you can already see my talk leaning in the direction of everything is it. But some of these its hurt more than others. And that, for me, has been another exploration. You know, why are we here? So a couple of near enemies that that have caught me from time to time are total fascination with samadhi, this kind of disintegration of all emotional life and thinking, and just pure, wide open, spacious presence. And then I think to myself, thought bubble, this is it. And then I go to school and try to teach a class in samadhi. And I tell you, the kids are like, what the fuck are you doing? Dude's not moving. Evaluator comes in. You know, Mike, it didn't seem like a lot happened in that. Oh, well, you were just missing it. It was all going on, I'll tell you. So, a kind of dead space, you know, this attachment to samadhi. A kind of near enemy. Not flexible enough. And for me, then, you know, the other side of the pole, you know, I can move to the other end, you know, on the tightrope, move to the other pole, and it's a kind of like, okay, then, if it's not getting rid of emotions and thoughts, then it must be emotions and thoughts. So I'm gonna like hyper focus on every single feeling that I have. It's like taking you know, these little blips and zooming in so close that they're all you see. I'm going to penetrate this emotion down to the very bottom of its empty core. I get really intense about it. I do it for years at a time, by the way. You know, it's not like, I don't fuck around with this. This isn't like, I'm going to do this for a few minutes, you know. Like, I say, okay, what is grief? It's pretty funny, actually. And, you know, I'll call up every thought and image of grief that I can throughout the course of my entire life. And, just focus in on every feeling that's emerging and look and penetrate. You know, meanwhile, like, you know, birds are singing, the sun is slanting through the window. I don't see any of it. So there's, for me, there's some kind of thought in this. It reminds me a little bit of, not to compare here, but, you know, a little bit of Buddha, where, you know, early in his life, he lives the life of riches, and then he moves to the life of asceticism. These extreme paths, you know, these places that we go, these places where we try to hunker down. And in some way, none of this has been a problem. In a very real sense, I think this has all been, you know, necessary. I think it is important to come to know our enemies, you know. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. There's some way that, you know, getting to really be with these different forms of practice and demons. You know, it's like the sole of a shoe has to wear out over time. You know, the fascination with these things, with the samadhi states and with, you know, my own personal self. You know, I think it's probably pretty important to explore these things as deeply as we can. But I have to say that for myself, neither extreme has provided much relief from suffering. I go to a kind of dead zone or to a very, very excruciatingly painful place. And, neither one kind of flows with the aliveness of my life. So there's a quote from Shunryu Suzuki that I really like, that comes back to me every so often. He says, you know, give your cows a wide pasture. I like this quote because he doesn't say go out and kill all your cows. You know, you don't have to go out and kill every thought and every feeling and every movement of your personal self. This can be a real problem when we practice in this way, this repressive sort of denial. And, you know, on the flip side of it, you know, we don't have to, like, zoom in the focus on the cow all the time. Because there is a wide pasture. And it's a kind of denial on my part. I feel like it's a kind of denial sometimes when I get really zoomed in on an emotional experience and then get really stuck in it and keep adding wood to it. Keep adding that wood because I want to explore it more. Well, it hurts. That's what I learned. It hurts. You know, and in some way, I don't think that it's us who answer this koan of how to practice. The world is offering itself to us. We're sitting here together. Beautiful sunlight, breeze, sounds. The world is just offering itself to us moment by moment. It's kind of like all we really need to do is not slip into some kind of denial. That's easier said than done. So I guess that's my encouragement for tonight, is to give your cows a wide pasture.